announcement has been paid for by the
Bullet Club.
Ciao, ragazzi. Welcome to another episode of Serie A Sit Down. No Frank Crivello tonight. Don't worry, I'm not alone. We've got an interesting show tonight. We're going to try to keep it short. No Frank tonight, so I'm going to try to keep my promise, keep it under an hour. I've gotten close. Hasn't happened yet. Let's see what we can do tonight. But my focus tonight, the rundown for tonight, we're going to talk, obviously, new manager in town in Lazio and got a nice impressive win against Juventus. And then they had a Coppa Italia game today. And so we're going to talk a little Lazio-Juventus, preview the second leg, and then get into the rest of the match week. Lots to get into in terms of storylines. But it's with Lazio, I haven't deep dived on them yet. And I thought, you know, let me bring in somebody who knows more about Lazio than I do. I'm going to bring in someone who I've got to actually personally meet. I'll bring in Sean McIntosh. He is the chief fan officer for Charlotte FC. He's also in charge of Lazio World. Please welcome to the show, Sean McIntosh. Sean, welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me. You know, I wish we could have recorded this after immediately after Saturday.
Yeah.
What a tale of two matches we'll get into. But excited to be on and chat about my beloved Lazio.
I wish timing was better for me because I, for some reason, thought this game was tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, we could preview the first leg. And then today I'm like, oh, no, the game's starting now. Oh, whoops. Well, never mind.
Yeah, I loved it because you're like, we'll preview. I was like, great. Let's just ignore what happened today. I'm all for it. Let's already look to the second leg in Rome.
And I know we got a fan in the chat. We got amazing Vincent, who's a Roma supporter here. So a little bit of love here from the other side of the city. But yeah, first of all, how are you and how have things been in your hectic world?
I'm great, man. My day job, I masquerade as an executive in Major League Soccer. And this time of year is always a lot of fun. The start of Major League Soccer is always chaotic. It's a breath of fresh air. What I love about this league is that there is hope for every club to hopefully take home an MLS Cup at the end of this thing. So things are great. We just had a big signing here from Celtic that we got to celebrate tonight. And of course, we start to look at the end of this Serie A season and we start to kind of, at least for myself, shift focus to what can be in the possibilities of a future as we look towards the always chaotic transfer market for those of us that are probably out of it in European play in the table.
Yeah, even my team has a chance at the moment, DC United, who have been really bad as of late for the last several years, but this year starting off very well, going toe-to-toe with everybody so far up to this point outside of Inter Miami, but that's another story. But let's get into the main meat of this. Your team, Lazio. They got a new manager, Igor Tudor, someone who we're all very familiar with in Serie A. Tell us about your initial thoughts when he first got hired. Obviously, with Sarri leaving with so many, you know, a handful of games and plus left in the season, it's never the ideal time to let someone go. And the choices for manager are very slim to none. However, you found a guy who has Serie A experience. So what were your initial thoughts when Igor Tudor joined the team?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll say, you know, for one, Maurizio Sarri left on his own accord. So, you know, he made a decision, which, you know, a lot of mixed reactions from fans on how they felt about Sarri. And, you know, we'll leave that for everybody to have their own personal opinions. But I thought a pretty noble thing to do was to step away. And he left a bag of money. He left about 5 million euros on the table to step away. He told Claudio Lotito and the club that if he ever felt like he was the problem and if he ever felt like he was holding things back and there was some strife within the locker room and he made it clear by his actions that he didn't feel like he had the ability to turn it around. And so he stepped away and, we've got a big derby coming up. I don't want to give a lot of credit to I think the approach that they took, you know, when they moved away from Jose Mourinho, I thought was a really good move. And I actually wanted Lazio to do something very similar. So they obviously hired Daniele De Rossi, fairly inexperienced manager, obviously a club legend. So from the ownership side of things, I thought it was a brilliant PR play because, you know, the fans were so attached to Mourinho, rabid fan base that just fed on the emotions of Mourinho, and Mourinho can oftentimes overshadow a lot.
Yeah.
And they made the pretty smart move of going with a club legend who would appease the fans. Nobody's going to be upset about De Rossi. And, you know, this season couldn't have, like, the results weren't going to get worse than what they were. And
exactly.
You know, giving a young manager an opportunity. And if it doesn't go well, that's fine. Look, we gave a club legend a try and they can kind of restart in the offseason. And you know, it sparked some life for them this season. So bringing it back to Lazio, I really wanted to see a similar move. We had the likes of Miroslav Klose, a club legend,
yep.
who kind of raised his hands and said, look, the first call, I'll be on the next flight to Rome. He has a little bit of managerial experience and I think could have come in and at least sparked some energy around the fan base.
Yeah.
And look, we were kind of already out of top four in Champions League, didn't have a lot to play for. We were knocked out of Champions League. And so I really wanted that type of a move with an eye to my preferred candidate, Sergio Conceição at Porto, who is
great pick.
Obviously, an esteemed manager, has done a really tremendous job at Porto, whose contract is up, who, after beating Arsenal in the first leg, was in the media saying Forza Lazio when he was asked about a potential
trip to
Italy. So he's a club legend, won the Scudetto with Lazio, and has a ton of connections here in Rome. So he's kind of the manager that I look to in hopes of the future. So all that to say that the appointment of Igor Tudor was, for me, it was fine. Like, you know, not bad. Nothing that was going to stir up the type of emotion that a Klose or a Sergio Conceição would.
For sure.
And I also had some questions when you look at his last few spots, like most recently. Well, first, he's been unemployed, but his last stint at Marseille, a rather short one. Now, you know, he always gets something out of his squads, and it just doesn't last. Even at Verona, at Hellas Verona, he's there for a year, year and a half. He's never in one place too long. I really want to build a project, and that's what was so exciting about the start of Maurizio Sarri's tenure here is you want to believe in something that's going to build, and so that's my question with Tudor. But you know, diving into the tactics and how he likes to play and the attitude of his teams and the hard work, the grinta, those are things that have been missing with Lazio, you know. So my hope is that he can use this next couple months to assess, see who can play under this system, and then, you know, go after some players in a transfer window. So, you know, lukewarm, but I think it's been off to an okay start.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with that. It's certainly an okay start. You know, go back to real quick to Maurizio Sarri, some players that kind of flourish under him that we've taken notice to. Obviously, you know, when you see a guy like Guendouzi coming over from Arsenal, you're not sure how is he going to do, how is he going to adapt to the league. But I think he's come on as of late. He's been really good in the Champions League. He's really been coming on in the league as well.
He's been the best player.
I agree about that.
Best player this season.
Another player I liked really under Maurizio Sarri is Isaksson coming up, and really a time where some of the front three really had, you know, maybe some down moments. Isaksson comes in and kind of helps with a little bit of with the attacking aspect as well as Castellanos as well, slowly starting to merge into the team. Maybe not as prolific as he was maybe in MLS, but nonetheless, some players are starting to merge, and even the defenders, you know. Casale, Romagnoli, they obviously started to become more known, more in the eyes of the rest of the Azzurri fans, because they start screaming for, you know, seeing this partnership into the Azzurri. Hopefully, if that's what the, you know, in terms of center backs for the Azzurri, there's really not really great options. And so having two guys who play for the same team, Casale and Romagnoli, you know, people are starting like, oh, let's at least see it, have a sample size here. But once Igor Tudor joined on board, one of the first things that was went across the media was that he's changing his system to a 3-4-2-1. You guys have been playing in a 4-3-3 for such a long time, it seems like. Was that a major shock? I mean, obviously it's Igor Tudor, he's going to do what he wants to do, but what were your thoughts when you first heard about this 3-4-2-1, you know, heading into this Juventus game during the league? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was shocked to see it actually being implemented so quickly against Juve right off the bat. You know, you've got some players on international break, but not a ton. You know, we had the likes of Zaccagni with Italy and Guendouzi with France. So, you know, most of our players were at least got to spend the week working on it, but still came as a surprise to me that we would see that. I'd say immediately I had some concerns. My concerns were twofold. My concerns were a look to obviously building a project. We talked about Sadi and I was really excited about building something long-term. We had a couple really strong windows trying to find players that can fit a system. So immediately I wonder, we were already going to have to get into this next window and really overhaul the squad. We have a lot of aging players in the most essential positions. And so now, not only do we have to go into a transfer window with an eye to some of these star players that we need to now make decisions on and overhaul, but now we've got to potentially make changes on some of the players we just brought in because they may or may not fit what Tudor wants. So I was worried about that. And then to your point, there are some players that really thrived under Sarri. Patrick was a player who anybody that listens to Lazio World knew. He was a player that, I'll be quite honest, I hated. He was my least favorite Lazio player. He was a player.
Many Laziales said the same thing. Yeah.
It just so often would make mistakes, was overly aggressive, would lose his head. When you thought about Lazio, so the word that would really come up amongst Laziali were blackouts. They would have these moments of just instant insanity. And Patrick was often at the center of that. Yeah. And now he's become not just a useful player, but an important player under Sarri. And, you know, Romagnoli comes into this squad under Sarri and sees a revitalization in his career. Be honest, just a quick aside on Romagnoli, you know, under these past couple seasons with Lazio, he's had many different center back pairings. And the constant is that Romagnoli has been constant. He has been a force. He has been a leader. He has been so good. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit as he deserves. And we talk about a lot of the question marks with the Azzurri, and I understand, you know, I follow a club like Lazio. A lot of times players get lost there and it takes the spectacular to get noticed. Romagnoli, I believe, should be called up for the Azzurri. He should be given opportunities because we're talking about a player of the caliber of, right, he was at Milan. And, you know, some ups and downs, but you look at what happened with Acerbi, who later stages of his career came to Lazio, revitalized, and then he got his chance much later. You know, I think Romagnoli deserves that. But I say that to say, look, there are players that have grown. Zaccagni had a fantastic season last year, but there are also players that now can kind of took a step back as well. So I think when I look at this new system, I'm excited to see what players can turn things around. You mentioned Tati Castellanos. Tati's start to Lazio has been really frustrating. He has a lot of qualities that he exhibits throughout a match that show that there's a lot of potential in him.
Exactly.
First of all, he fights for the team. That's what you want to see as a fan. You want to see effort more than, you know, that's at least for me, I want to see that more than anything. Right off the bat, show me that you're a fighter. You're going to do the work. You're going to work for your teammates. He does that. He's got a lot of technical ability as well. He has a flair for the dramatic. You know, he loves a trivella. He loves a bicycle kick. He loves, you know, big moments like that. He's got to work on some of his movements. which were really important under Sarri. And then he's just had a struggle in finishing the final product.
Yep.
And that's been a case for a lot of Lazio under Sarri and not creating enough opportunities. Ciro Immobile in the later stages of his career in some injuries, we're not seeing him. And I don't know if we ever will, if I'm being honest. So I think there's some excitement. What's interesting about Tudor's system is that while he's starting matches more three in the back, that's just simply in the attack. Yep. And then he reverts to a four-man system in defense. And in that first match it against Juve, it really was a thing of beauty. And I was just quite impressed that they were able to grasp that so quickly, because Sadi just pounds a system into your head, and it's system above everything.
Yep.
So for them to be able to switch into this system that allowed for some fluid movements and created a little bit of confusion with Juve not knowing where some players would be, I thought was quite interesting. So obviously a different result today, but from a formation standpoint, quite interested to see how this goes moving forward, because with Sarri, it really was, you know, it would be frustrating watching the same thing over and over and over again and not seeing the results.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. Amazing Vincent says, I think Immobile is really out the door and will end up in Saudi next season. It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible, right? It's one of those things, like, it comes up every single year. Came up last year. Yeah. Right? We've seen the Inter links. You just don't know. It all depends on how a season finishes. Look, I love Ciro Immobile. I think he's probably my favorite Lazio player of all time, because there have been greats at the club that won massive trophies. You know, and Ciro's gotten a couple Coppa Italias and Supercoppas, not quite at the level.
Yeah, Crespo.
You know, fantastic player. But Ciro was at this club when you know, we weren't at our height, and was able to produce when we didn't have star players around him at all times. And, you know, a couple seasons with Luis Alberto and Milinkovic-Savic, but you know, he was able to bag goals out of nothing. And
it was him, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so I don't want to – I want him to stay. I don't want to see him play for a rival club, but, man, I just – for him, I would love him to continue to see him climb up the ranks of the Serie A leaderboard. And
for sure,
it would be a shame to see him finish in Saudi. At the very least, I'd love to bring him to Major League Soccer. But, I still think he can be an important player in this league. I think you're starting to see the end of him being a consistent starter. There are still qualities in there, but Cheetah was always a workhorse.
Yeah.
90 minutes match in, match out. He would play three games a week, and it was always really admirable to see.
You
can question sometimes, right? He's not the most clinical finisher in the entire universe, but he ran all the time. He created opportunities for himself.
Exactly.
In order for him to extend his career, he's going to have to play a little bit differently and smarter and conserve some of that.
Yeah, like many of the aging strikers we've seen throughout the league, as even close as even prime example of that, you know. But first and foremost, you have Frank and I who are definitely beating the drums for Romagnoli and Casale to get the call up to the Zuri.
Not Casale anymore, my friend.
Yeah. Well, certainly Romagnoli. Certainly Romagnoli. Certainly Romagnoli.
Casale's been, maybe the biggest disappointment this season.
The regression.
There's players that just haven't performed. But last year, and this is the credit to Romagnoli, honestly. Casale just stepped into this season and it's been mistake after mistake, not able to regain the form.
Yeah.
And it's been disappointing, because I thought we might have had something there for the national side too. But I don't know that he even has a place at Lazio longer. So
well, he did have a place in the lineup on the game against Juventus in the league. The 3-4-2-1, you had Mandas in goal. Obviously, Provedel couldn't start. So Mandas got to step up. Fantastic game by Mandas. Back three of Casale, Romagnoli, and Gila. Midfield five of four with Barisic, Catali, Kamada, and Felipe Anderson. Pedro Zaccagni right behind Castellanos. It's interesting because usually we see Juventus was a similar four. Usually it was a 3-5-2 they come out. We heard Tudor saying that he was trying this new formation, and you know, Frank and I talked about how, like, okay, well, he's experimenting for next season. No way he's going to bring it to the game, and sure enough, he did. And I think two shocks, that the formation came out with that, and then Juve came out with a 4-3-3, which is very unlike Juve. But what I think, what we saw from the get-go of this game is that the high line from Lazio really forced the onus on Juventus to make. They were causing turnovers left and right. Chesney had a big error in the game. And from the beginning of the game, you see lots of chances from Lazio. Castellanos probably had two really good chances in the first opening minutes. Kamada had an opportunity as well. I think Matic had the other one. I mean, talk about the start that they had in that game, because that's really what you want to do against Juventus. We've seen Inter do this and other teams do this that have had success against Juventus. Put the pressure from the beginning and force them to kind of play the way out of the back and make mistakes, which I think Lazio did very well in that first half.
Yeah, so from certain phases in the game, there was a lot of similarities to what Sadi and what Lazio had done for much of the season. Like they love to press, and particularly early in games, there was a high press. What was particularly interesting here is how aggressive the center backs were. Saw Romagnoli right off the bat pressing and really aggressively to the back of Moise Kean, showing them and making a statement. They weren't going to make it easy on him. They were pressing high. The pace from a player like Mario Gila, having license to, one, advance the ball. He's, let me tell you, he has been fantastic all season long. This match against Juve probably brought a little bit more spotlight onto him. He's a player to watch out for. I think he's going to develop into one of the best center backs in the league. Yeah. That was a perfect match for him. I think Tudor is just going to elevate him a little bit more, because he gives him license and he makes these darting runs and his technical ability to dribble as a center back. And now he's pushed out wide. He's playing a little bit of left back as well, with Felipe Anderson playing a little bit more as a wing back. And that pressure, it just caught Juve off guard and it suffocated them, forced them to create very, very little in opportunities. And they were so good at finding space and just the passing, though, it felt like outside of that final third, Lazio was able to dominate and do what they wanted with the ball and again, really suffocating Juve.
It was very, very impressive. And then also getting their opportunities as well on goal. Juventus' chances were really limited. I thought, you know, Gila and company really did a great job of limiting Chiesa and some of these runs that they usually Juventus like to have when playing the counterattack. You didn't see much of that from Juventus. The opportunities that they had were from distance, and Mandas made the saves. Some of them were really big key saves, like one save, I think it was on Chiesa, through a crowd low corner, and Mandas got down and made a save. And so what we saw is very good, very disciplined effort by Lazio. You talked about how defensively it changes out of that 3-4-2-1, and you saw how compact and disciplined they were defensively against Juventus, really not allowing Juventus to really run free and be open. And I think that was frustrating Juventus to no end. The longer it went 0-0, the better, more the chance you think Lazio is going to have it in this game. As the game went on, obviously you're missing some great chances. I mean, you probably had five quality opportunities before the goal was scored.
Yeah.
Do you think it was going to miss you guys with all that?
Yeah, I really did. I thought so. And this was the frustrating thing. And while there was a lot of it was a breath of fresh air in many ways, the way we approached this match, and we seemed to be more direct. They seemed to understand their assignments a little bit more clearly. There were better phases of the game. We created a bit more opportunities than we had been under Sadi. But then it all came down to an issue that we've had all season, and that's finishing in the final third.
Yeah.
And I was starting to think to myself, new manager, new system, same result. We can't find the back of the net. This is the same old story, particularly against Juve, who's just going to ultimately find one chance, and the likes of Chiesa or Moise Kean or you know, Vlahovic coming in, is somebody's going to bag a goal, and it's going to be another one of those games you cry like... about. Oh, we should have, we could have, XG, and look at that, and doesn't matter because we drop all of our points. And you know, mentioned Tati, the frustrating Tati is again, he does so many things really well. And Felipe Anderson, who I thought was spectacular in this match,
yep,
serves up two balls to him that
should have been goals.
at the minimum, all you demand is to get a shot on frame, yes, inside of the box, and he goes wide on both of them. And I'm just, those are the moments you get really, really frustrated in a player, and you almost want to give up on him. Now, yep, you know, I don't want to be so quick to do that, but I really did think that this was all going to be for naught and ultimately bite us in the ass.
Luckily, it didn't. You saw some key substitutions by Tudor late in the game, bringing on the likes of, you know, Vecino and Luis Alberto, and in particular, Guendouzi. Guendouzi really got into the game quickly, I thought, and he gets the ball out left. Really, I thought a play I was going to go to Luis Alberto, but Guendouzi wanted the ball, and he looked like he had a plan. He did. He got a backdoor. Marisic, who we've seen do many times, push up and, you know, go for the goal in the game. He did it, puts it on target, showing Castellanos how to do it. Getting the game winner in stoppage time. Great victory for, I mean, it was he tutored Allegri to be, you know, to be tongue-in-cheek, but it was a masterclass, very sensational performance by Lazio to get the victory as they did. Very unexpected, I think, for most, especially with Tudor's first game. Obviously, you're going to be ecstatic. Obviously, today's a different story. You're feeling a little different. But at the time, I think that's a great way to start for Tudor's first game, I guess, with Lazio.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic way to start it. Again, I'd say Lazio has left a lot of matches to these moments. And I said it on our podcast that we recorded today on Lazio World that it's a bit of luck where we leave some of these matches. I think back to a couple Champions League matches. Pedro scores late in the match. We have a Provedel goal in a Champions League fixture to save Lazio. You know, some of these moments that come are a bit lucky. Like, there's obviously players doing their part, but in this Juve match, it was absolutely well-deserved 3 points. You just wish it didn't have to come at the dying stages and we don't have to excruciate over it. Now, thrilling. And if you tell me that's how it's going to end, there's no better way to beat Juve than with a buzzer beater of a dagger. But you get nervy in those situations. So fantastic way, because at the end of the day, well, you want the points. When I'm judging a manager, particularly early in his tenure, what I'm looking for is style of play. What does the run of play look like? Are things moving in the right direction? Can we see some progress? Now, it's only one match in, but I really loved what I saw with the ideas that he has. Now the players have to go out there and execute.
Well, with that result, Lazio jump. They're in seventh place currently. One of the questions from Armenian Interista says, do you expect Lazio to win Serie A in the next 5 years? And his follow-up question is, do you think Lazio can qualify this season for Europa League or Conference League? Originally, I told you this off podcast, that originally I had Lazio finishing second. Obviously, I'm eating a little egg, but now they're coming back. They are so down for most of the season, they're starting to come back now. But what are your thoughts on those two questions there?
Well, they're so very different questions. The expectations of both are wildly on two different spectrums.
Yes.
Right? I'll say, let's start with this season.
Okay.
Yes. I think right now, if Tudor was given an objective, it's get us into Europa League. Right? Let's get into European play. Now, there is a very small glimmer of hope. And I have pronounced Lazio dead on many occasions when it comes to our Champions League hopes.
Yeah.
Now, the statistics are quite probable that Serie A will be granted a fifth spot.
Yes.
Let's make the assumption that that does happen. There is still a slim margin. We're currently 6 points back of Roma, who sits in that fifth spot. Big derby win could change it all. Lazio actually has one of the easiest schedules in Serie A to close out this season. So we've got Roma this weekend, again, assuming you win that, that's, this match is always important, but all the more important for the two sides that are battling for fifth. Then we've got Inter. We've got Inter at a point in the season where they may just have it all wrapped up and have very little to play for.
Yeah.
And we've got a bunch of teams, you know, that are well below us or fighting for relegation. And then you look at the teams that Roma has to play, it becomes interesting at the very least. So there is a glimmer of hope. So, you know, my expectation, my goal as a fan is to qualify for Europa, and then let's keep battling for that fifth spot. In terms of expecting Lazio to win Serie A in the next 5 years, look, I don't expect Lazio to win the Scudetto.
If it happens, great.
I got my 99-2000 victory. I hope it happens. It's hard to think about it right now with our management and with the spending and the way that transfer fees continue to just blow up and kind of the rest of the world passing us by. It's hard to. I think a lot of things are going to have to happen. And we've had some windows. Obviously, Lazio finished second last year. Napoli just kind of smoked everybody. So COVID year in 2020, I, in my heart of hearts, actually believed Lazio was going to win the Scudetto that year. And I'm not very, I don't have those types of expectations, but my heart, really, I thought things were lining up that year. The way that we were playing, we were absolutely spectacular. We were winning every big match. We were just on a hot streak, and the stars were aligning. It was 20-year anniversary of Lazio winning their last Scudetto. The kits that we wore that year were actually the same ones that we wore the year we won. They did a remake of those. Ciro Immobile was absolutely on fire. We had the likes of Luis and Sergei Milinkovic-Savic playing as some of the best players in the league. And then, you know, the world would end, you know, when there was some sort of a hope that Lazio could do it. So, look, next 5 years, I don't expect it at all.
Fair enough. Going back to today now to kind of wrap things up, obviously you see more traditional formations from both Lazio and Juventus. Juventus came out in a 3-5-2, Lazio with a 4-3-3. Do you think today, I mean, it's really hard because where do each of the team's priorities? Obviously, Lazio want to pick up as many points as they can during the season. You think Juventus would as well, and they really don't want to lose ground on with Milan nipping at their heels or in front of them and trying to pull away. Obviously, Juventus lose big 3 points in that game, and now they have six points behind Milan at the moment, who are in second place. But you know that Juventus has their heart set on trophy this year. They know they're not going to get anywhere else except for Coppa Italia is the only chance, really. From what we saw in the first leg, obviously by no means is the series over, but it seemed like Juve played with a little more intention, more purpose in this game. What did you see, you know, as the game unfolded? Obviously, the two great passes that led to the goals for both Chiesa and Vlahovic's goals. But what were you seeing in that game that was maybe different from the first game that you were or weren't expecting?
Yeah, I think the first half was fairly similar to what I saw in the first game. I thought that Lazio were slightly the better team. I thought we did really well to carve up Juve up until we advanced to the final third. And then a lot of the challenges that Lazio had for much of the season under Sarri started to creep in, where we just couldn't break Juve down. Players weren't taking anybody on one-on-one. Nobody wanted to necessarily step up in that final third. But I thought everything else outside of that, the defense was really stable. Thought the midfield was good. I thought Luis Alberto had a tremendous first half. Looked like the Luis Alberto of old.
Yeah, he did.
I was pretty happy. You know, felt good. Again, we're playing in Juve. We're playing at Turin. We're playing on the road against Juve. Historically, Lazio has simply been miserable there. And I was hopeful that, you know, we have another second half like that. Worst case scenario, it's a draw and we can go back to Stadio Olimpico with with everything to play for and home field advantage. I thought the game changed by a substitution that ultimately I think Tudor would go back and he has to regret it. Unless there was some sort of an injury reason for it. He makes the substitution, and this is a halftime substitution in which he subs Patrick out and Casale in. Now, Casale in his first match with Tudor played pretty well.
Yeah.
But he has been dreadful all season long. Mistakes that we saw today were present for a lot of the season and just been a shell of himself, lacking confidence, lacking fitness. Completely a different player than what we saw. And I just, making that substitution, inserting a player who's lacked that confidence all season long at halftime of a match, I scratched my head. And then 5 minutes into the second half, it was a really nice ball by Cambiaso.
Yeah, it was.
All the credit to him. But there was all the space in the world for him to thread that. And Casale was way too far up the pitch, didn't notice his man. And this is Chiesa, right? If you're going to mark somebody,
it's him.
And mark and simply gets beat. And Casale does not have the pace that Gila has. So in that first match, the one time that Juve found a little bit of space, you have Moise Kean maybe 10 yards ahead of everybody. You see in the 60th minute in that first match, you see Mario Gila chasing down Kane.
Nesta and impersonation.
Moise Kean had some pace to him.
Yeah.
Gila just completely.
Anyone to tackle.
Incredible tackle, right? These are the tackle that we saw were tackles that we grew up loving in the 90s that were made by the likes of Nesta, Maldini, right? Fantastic play.
Yeah.
Casale, on the other hand, completely unaware, hits deep, has no chance of recovering, and Chiesa finishes it as a player of his stature should.
Yeah.
And then that second goal, it's a really nice ball by McKennie, who's played incredible. You know, he's been the best midfielder for Juve, maybe the best player for Juve, right?
Yeah.
A player that was almost run out of town, and makes a nice pass. Then it's a one-on-one, and like a deer in the headlights, Casale, no confidence. He's kind of backtracking, doesn't know what to do, and Vlahovic takes the space, finishes it very nicely. Mm. And look, I thought that Casale was the reason we lost it, not the reason we didn't win, because I didn't think anybody from an attacking phase stepped up or had the desire, and there wasn't anything. But Casale was pretty dreadful, and I was disappointed to not see the attitude after conceding to go out there and push. And that's just been, unfortunately, the attitude of this side for this season. I do think somebody like Tudor, who demands more, will get more eventually. But today was pretty disappointing. But again, if I look at the first half, prior to that substitution, I thought it looked good enough.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I would agree with that sentiment. But now the 2-0 thing, it's not the end of the world. What do you guys have to do in that second leg at home to get the turn result? At least, you know, get it, you know, extra time or penalties or whatever, or even win it outright. What does Lazio have to do?
Yeah, I think
they have to score goals.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing for them, that they're going to have to achieve something that they haven't really achieved much of this season at all, which is pretty grim. Now, they're playing at Stadio Olimpico. They're a much better team at home. They're going to have to attack, obviously. It's going to be really difficult. We haven't seen it all season long, where they can create enough opportunities, and their strikers haven't been clinical enough with the very few chances they get. And so now you're going to see a side that just those strikers, they just start to tense up in these moments where you're demanding them to be 100% clinical. It's a little bit like what you see at Cheadle at the national team level, you know, so very scrutinized. It's harder. Like when you're, there's a lot of reasons why, like, I don't want to turn this into an Azzurri conversation, but there's a lot of reasons why the Azzurri have failed to score goals, right? It's a lot of the buildup, the midfield, those aren't creating. Correct. And then when they do find those one or two opportunities, you've got to be perfect. And that's unfortunately what Lazio have been this season. They found that themselves in that situation, not creating a ton, boom, one or two moments, your strikers better finish. And what Chito had been always so good at was always being a part of a system and creating so many opportunities for himself. So great. If he doesn't bag that first one, you know, Chito's going to create three more opportunities because of his work and everybody else linking up. And that just simply hasn't happened. So they've got to find a way to support their attacker a little bit more. So much of the season, Chito and Tati have simply been on an island. They're going to have to throw numbers in the box. And we know Juve is going to come out. They're going to be in a low block. Bremer is a fantastic center back, so he's going to be physical. But Lazio just has to throw numbers. And they're going to have to get guys like Marusic, who are a little bit bigger. They're going to have to risk it with some of their center backs making runs. And
risk the counterattack,
Yeah, and it's going to be tough because Juve doesn't really allow – a lot of numerical advantages because they're going to sit back. Allegri loves to do that anyways. Up 2-0 going into this one. I wouldn't bet on Lazio coming out. Now, I will be very, very interested because this is going to tell me a little bit about Tudor. You know, I know the easy thing is that they're going to be exposed and get punished, but I would rather see them go out there and just – throw numbers up and attack and attack and attack, then just sit back and hope for something to crack.
All right, last question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Prediction for Derby?
So, man, the beauty about Derbies is that they are so unpredictable. Sadi was so dominant in this fixture during his time, particularly against Mourinho. So it makes it a little bit harder to predict this. I will think it's going to end in a draw. I know that's the cop-out answer, but I will say, right, Roma had looked really good until they played Lecce.
I agree.
Now we take this Coppa Italia match out, right? Like Lazio did look good. But it really is one of those fixtures where whoever has the best form, like, and ends up typically not winning this one, but Roma drew to Lecce and we just lost to Juve 2-0. So we're kind of both going into this one on the low. Yeah, I really do. I really think it'll be, man, yeah, this, I think it's going to be a 1-1 affair.
All right. Long as it's feisty, for the neutral standpoint, we always love those games.
It will be.
Mancini's going to get involved. You know, it's going to be very feisty, this for sure. So, but Sean, I want to say thank you, first of all, for giving some time, talking about some Lazio, some deep dive, much overdue on our part. So thank you again for talking all this Juventus game against Juventus, Coppa Italia, previewing that, and then looking ahead to the derby. For those who are living under a rock, here's your chance to plug yourself, plug whatever you want. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, well, again, I appreciate you having me on. Look, my co-hosts and I, Caleb Adams and myself, run a podcast called Lazio World. We're on every social media platform, so check us out at Lazio World on Twitter and then TikTok and Instagram. But our podcast is primarily found on YouTube. We do instant reactions to every single match. We do some features, you know, when big news announcements break, and player analysis, and we'll be doing a lot more in the off season. So check us out on YouTube, Lazio World, subscribe. And then we also are on every audio platform as well. If you don't want to look at our ugly faces, you're more than welcome to just listen.
That's what our followers do to us, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. I take no offense. I buy the fancy mic so we can at least sound good. So yeah, give us a follow. It'll go a long way. We're trying to grow this thing and you know, the more Serie A content creators, particularly in the English space, will go a long way to help lift us all.
Amen to that. Sean, thank you again. Everyone listening, make sure you follow, subscribe, everything, Lazio World. And Sean, again, much appreciated, sir. Best of luck rest of the season, both in the league and in MLS as well. And we'll talk very soon, sir.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, that was Sean McIntosh. It's Lazio World. Talking a little Lazio. We were much overdue there. Amazing, Vincent. Thank you for holding in there with us. I know it wasn't your favorite topic, but hey, we got to talk Lazio, especially with their big victory over Juventus. We have the rest of the match week, though, to talk about, so let's get into that. There's a scoreline from the weekends, some of the talking points. So, obviously, we had, hopefully everyone had a buona Pasqua, a happy Easter. As a result of Easter, there were no games on Sunday, as traditional in Serie A. So we had a bunch of games played on Saturday, and then everything else we played on Monday. Amazing Vincent says, allow it. Good, sir. Good, sir. Starting things off, we'll look at Fiorentina-Milan, a marquee matchup there. Very entertaining game there, where first half, very tight game. Both teams really up for this one in Firenze. Second half is where really things started taking over. Chiquesi, I thought, had a really excellent first half, as did Tiani Reinders for Milan. Ikone, in terms of Fiorentina, also played very well. 2-1 scoreline here. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, after a sensational backheel flick by Rafael Leao to kind of set things up, 1-0 there. Alfred Duncan with a goal of the week candidate. Sensational long-distance goal past Mike Maignan. Instant reaction by Fiorentina. And then minutes later, it seemed like every 3 minutes we were getting goals. Rafael Leao on a breakaway. Nice assist by Tiani Reinders. Made it 2-1. That'd be all the goals in that game. Lots of big saves by Mike Maignan in this one. But Milan equate with a victory 2-1. Moving on to another marquee game in this one, Napoli hosting Atalanta. Curious to see how Calzona's men would do against Gasperini. Well, we found out, didn't we? Marancia gets a goal in a 26-minute, really sloppy defense there by Napoli. Gianluca Scamacca puts it away in the second half, right by halftime there. 2-0 there. And then we get Coop Miners in stoppage time, or just before stoppage time, late in the game. Nice goal by him, having, 11th goal of the season for him. Napoli get trounced at home by Atalanta. Unreal scoreline there, 3-0. Moving on with the jerseys of the weekend, the kits of the weekend. Genoa, wonderful kits there, hosting Frosinone. Relegation six-pointer there. In the 30th minute, we would get a penalty shout, and Goodmanson would step up, get the goal for Genoa. Shortly thereafter, though, Frosinone would equalize to Reiner, 1-1. Frosinone had their opportunities. Genoa were playing with some fire defensively, but ultimately the game would be shared points, 1-1. Both teams share the spoils in that one. Moving on to Torino hosting Monza, a very tight affair. A questionable penalty called in the 69th minute against Matteo Pessina. Sanabria steps up, scores the goal. Add insult to injury. Pessina picks up a second yellow card, gets a red card in the 72nd minute. Torino wins that game 1-0 there. We already talked about Lazio and Juve, who had finished out the Saturday slate. No games on Sunday, and we're moving on to Monday. Bologna taking on Salernitana. And was there any other result in question in this one? 3-0 victory for Bologna. We had goals from Orsolini, goal of the week candidate there in the 14th minute. Salsiccia maker, Salamakers, a really nice goal in the 44th minute. And then Lico Giannis puts it away, extra goal in stoppage time. 3-0 victory for Bologna at home. Cagliari and Verona, talk about Verona really trying to make an impact in this one. They did start out very well. Bonazzoli with a goal of the week candidate, a wonderful flick by him, makes it 1-0. They had some other opportunities and couldn't put it away. Ultimately, it would come back to bite him as Sulimana in the 74th minute makes it 1-1. Verona did have another chance late in the game. Unfortunately for them, they leveled this game 1-1. Big points for Cagliari in this one. Moving on to Sassuolo hosting Udinese. Gregoire de Frel gets a goal in the 41st minute. Nice goal. Nice team play by Sassuolo there. But shortly thereafter, it was Toven and Pacero. Give and go. 44th. Boom. Puts a goal. 1-1. That would be all the goals in this game. Very tight game. Not much in terms of scoring opportunities, but I think both teams will be happy with the point in this stage of the season. One of the shocking results of the weekend, and Vincent, you might have to turn away here, but Lecce hosting Roma, and I think Roma found out what everybody else found out this season, that it's hard to play against Lecce at Lecce. This is probably the worst game under De Rossi thus far under his tenure. Lecce looked like a lot of intention of trying to score goals in this one, had many of our opportunities. Svilar came up big in this game. The defense for Roma came up big. Roma did have their opportunities as well, but ultimately points would be shared. I think big points dropped for Roma in this one. They really had a chance to make their push into the Champions League with a victory here, and Lecce deservedly gets a point. If not, they could have, probably should have got more out of this one. And then rounding out the slate for the entire weekend, we had the champions-elect Inter winning 2-0 against Empoli. DiMarco scores a nice goal in the fifth minute. Defender to defender, bastone to DiMarco. Inter does this better than anybody else. 1-0 there, and it wasn't another goal until late in the game. Alexis Sanchez backdoor 81st minute, make it 2-0, but this was a very comfortable win for Inter in this one. So lots of scores, interesting score lines in this one. Where will I start here? Let's look at some of the commentary here. Yeah, Reinders had a really good game, especially second half of the season, or second half of the season, and in the game in general. Start with the Monday slate. Bologna doing what they had to do, I think. Salernitana are a tricky team. They're a team that have been playing teams a lot closer this season. However, Bologna they stick to their bread and butter. They do it so well. They take advantage of their set pieces. When they have the counterattacks, they are very clinical there. Xerxes didn't have the greatest of games, but it really didn't matter, honestly. When you have the complement scoring goals like Orsolini and Salamaker and even Lekogiannis, you don't really need your star players to score. They have such a complete team there. And they're marched towards a remarkable, possibly Champions League, finish this year is still very much in play. Impressive win by them. I don't know what to make of this Roma game. And Vincent, I'm curious your thoughts, but was it a trap game? It's hard to say. Lecce are a difficult team at home. They always have been. Lecce are also trying to survive, and that's a dangerous combination when you play a team who's very good at home, plus they're trying to survive. They tend to be up for these kind of games, and they have been all season long with Banda and company. They create chances. This is the one thing you say about Lecce. Yeah, they give up a lot of chances, but for a team as low as they are in the table and that's flirting with relegation, they have some offensive firepower on them, and when they get running with Krstajic and company, they can create some opportunities. They're not the greatest, most clinical team, and I think Roma were lucky for that sake because lots of chances are created by Lecce. But for Roma, it's a blip in the radar. I don't know. I really don't know what to think of this. I'm not going to hold too much stock in this. It's just a one-off game. Obviously, a difficult place to play, but it's just a game where De Rossi's really have to look at things, see how things lined up, what worked, what didn't work. Was there an experiment there he probably shouldn't have done? It was a rotation needed. All these little factors. I think Roma, in the long scheme of things, are going to be fine heading to Derby week. Obviously, maybe they're playing little mind games and making themselves look normal for Lazio and throwing them off their game. Who knows? We'll see. But I fully expect the Derby to be an entertaining, fierce one. I think both Lazio and Roma are going to be up for this game. I think for Roma's sake, this is a game you just throw away and move on from there. I'm excited to see this Derby game. It's obviously going to take one of our main attentions next week on next week's podcast. But Roma shouldn't be worried too much to worry about. As Vincent says here, get my mouse to work here. Says both teams missed way too many chances, but Lecce missed more Svilars to get from God. I mean, that's the one thing you could say with this whole Mourinho move is really Svilars' emergence. He's really become the goalie that they didn't realize they needed. Rui Patricio in his day, he was a very good goalkeeper, but he's obviously making more and more mistakes as the seasons have gone on with him. And they needed something different, a fresh start. Svilar comes in and really takes the reins. Really, you look at the Europa League where he makes those fantastic saves and penalty shootout to get Roma advance. He's been something now that allows them to play a little bit more risky, not worry so much defensively and know that you have a quality goalkeeper back there to make the saves. And so it's a gift from God. And I'm happy to see that It's one less headache that Romanisi have to worry about is in goal now, because Filar is certainly a keeper there. Straight up win for Inter. Not really much to talk about there. They're in cruise control at the moment. I know Sean talked about maybe, you know, they're going to let off here because it's the end of the season. They really have the season wrapped. Unfortunately for Lazio and I think for Milan fans, I don't think that's going to happen, because Inter, I think, had their sights set on being dominant until at least the derby, winning the derby and then winning the title, and then they can go in cruise control. So I think until that derby day happens, when they celebrate the trophy, I think they're going to be locked in, ready to just keep salting everybody in the league. And so that's unfortunately for the rest of us who have to play them until then. But yeah, Inter had this control. They weren't even threatened in this game against Empoli. Moving on back to the Saturday slate, Fiorentina-Milan. I thought it was a very entertaining game. Fiorentina really put Milan through paces. Milan looked comfortable for large stretches of this game. Again, Reinders and Chukwueze. It was a nice revelation to see Chukwueze playing as well as he did. He probably should have had a goal and two assists in the first half. Missed a sitter of a header. He set up Giroud for one great play, and I think Leao with the second one with a beautiful pass there in the first half. Reinders was marvelous. He's gotten stronger as the season has gone on. But, you know, that call up to the Netherlands, he's even elevated his game even more. You can see it in the last couple of weeks. And so this team's really starting to develop into the team that we thought possibly could happen. Eduardo chimes in and says, that derby's going to be fire. It's going to be fire for you. It'll be another 5-0 victory probably there for Inter. They're going to win the Scudetto, but it will be. I think that's probably going to be the last real difficult game, or really game where you see Inter locked on. I don't think the 102 is going to be attainable this season. That's just me. Frank says it's still attainable. It's still within reach. I don't see it, but you know, after the derby and Scudetto's locked up, I think they're being cruise control. But Milan, they look legitimate as a number two this year. Got a 6-point gap on Juventus now with this victory. Obviously, big goals. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, huge signing for Milan this season. It seems like all Milan signings have panned out, which is remarkable for them. Fiorentina, again, they fought tooth and nail. Duncan, sensational goal. I think Iconia was really good in this game. A lot to like from Fiorentina. They just didn't have enough in this one. And I think Vincenzo Italiano and company, they need to find a way to kind of regroup, keep that confidence going, because they have some big games coming up in the Conference League. They have hopes to get back to the finals and maybe even lift the trophy. And, you know, yeah, games like this can be deflating. They need to get back on track on the winning side and get their goal scorers back focused on the goals here. It's nice to get contributions from Duncan, but you need your strikers to score some goals as well. And so we'll see what they can do. I like that they have the flexibility on the right back with Dodo and Kayode. Two really good right backs, in my opinion. It's too bad, you know, one of them isn't more flexible and can play the other side. I think it's nice to give nice rotation there when you can, because Dodo, I think, he started last year and he's more than capable of starting this year. And Kayode has been a revelation this season with the Italian international there. So yeah, Fiorentina has still some good things to do, but there's still a long ways there from being that team that's gonna to win the title in the Conference League. But we'll see, long season ahead. Torino Monza, not really much there. I want to talk about Genoa Frosinone. I didn't like the game plan, I should say, from Genoa. You're playing a team that you're battling for, you know, survival in the league. Two teams that are heading in a downward trajectory, especially Frosinone. You need to take them to the sword when you have the opportunity. And they started out the game very well. They got the lead. I thought that was their chance to put more foot on the gas, extend the lead there, but it really didn't. You saw they kind of back off a little bit, and Frosinone, you know, at times they can come at you wave after wave, and maybe Genoa saw this and think they couldn't handle it, and they kind of, you know, drop back and try to play more defensive. I don't know. I didn't like the defensive formation, but I guess in Gilardino we trust. Until it proves them wrong and they get relegated, you have to confide in the manager and hope that you know what he's doing. But I would like to see a little more offensive side from Genoa. And Frosinone, you know, they tried. They had some opportunities, didn't get the goal, the game-winning goal like they were looking for. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who gets relegated. The relegation fight this year is going to be fire. You know, Eduardo says the derby is going to be fire, and it is. One this weekend and then, you know, the Milan derby later. But the relegation fight is going to be something to watch. You obviously have the fireworks going off in Serie B. We talked about a couple podcasts ago of all the teams that are in the mix, in the running for promotion. And the teams that are fighting for relegation this season is just as entertaining. Looking at the bottom half of the table here, obviously Salernitana are all but done and dusted, but Sassuolo is on 24 points. Empoli 1 point ahead of them at 25. Frosinone, with that draw, are also on 25 points. 2 points ahead of them, Cagliari, who got a big point against Verona this weekend, both on 27 there. And Udinese, I mean, you recently have 13th through 19th fighting for the last two spots in relegation. You're going to see some head-to-heads coming end of the week, end of the season. It's going to be interesting to see how this one pans out. But it's certainly all to play for in this one. And lastly, my big take from the weekend, as I get a gulp of water here, is that Napoli-Atalanta game. Napoli at home did not look like themselves. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's the red jerseys Atalanta threw out that kind of like... It seems like Napoli haven't played well against teams that wear red jerseys this season. Napoli wears red jerseys themselves. And that, you know, the fact they came out with the white jerseys, whatever it was, something wasn't in the air right for Napoli. I thought Atalanta played this very well defensively. This is the kind of formula they're going to use to progress in the Europa League. I like their chances. They didn't give up too much defensively when they did give up some things. Karnesecki, I thought, stood up, made a great save. He's been, you know, we talk about Svilar being a nice find for Roma. Karnesecki's been that same story for Atalanta this year. Excuse me. Freaking allergies. But Karnesecki, yeah, he's just there. He backs them up whenever they get it. And I think the way Gasperini's got this team lined up, I think he's finally starting to get that balance of playing solid defense and playing enough in the attack. Obviously, having a guy like Toon Koopmeiners on your team is going to help, you know, help with everything. But you're getting contributions from a lot of players: Paslić, Skamaka, you know, CDK, Lukman, who's having a kind of resurgence here the last month or so. You know, going back to playing with the AFCON, he's been on fire ever since. This team has some pieces there, and they're figuring how to play offense and defense. And when you give a team like Napoli so much trouble, don't get me wrong, Napoli had their opportunities. Osimhen had a good game. He had some quality opportunities. There was a play in the second half where Zielinski, glad to see him back in the lineup, first of all. You know, how long has he been banished, basically, by ADL? But he hits a sensational shot, hits off the post, comes back out. Osimhen ends up getting the post as well. Osimhen, I thought, was everywhere, but outside of Osimhen, no one really was there to kind of help him out. And we talked about so many times with these strikers. Sean mentioned it with Lazio, you know, when the strikers aren't there, whether it's for Lazio or the Azzurri, it's going to be hard for the striker to score a goal. Same thing with Lazio. He wasn't getting the support that he needed in this one, I thought, and he tried everything in his power. Vincent says, I have this really weird feel that Atalanta could beat Liverpool over two legs. I do too. They play defense like this. Liverpool are playing for EPL right now. Yeah, it'd be nice to win a Europa League if you're Liverpool, but wouldn't you rather win the Premier League over Arsenal and Man City? Yeah, I think they would. And you know the way the schedules work, it's always going to be a big game against one of those two teams when the Europa League games come. So I fully expect Liverpool to be in split minds when the leg comes up, and do not be shocked if Atalanta pushed them. I could see this easily going into extra time of the second leg. Atalanta, we saw how they've gotten against teams in European competition over the last, under Gasperini's reign so far. They've done well. They have not looked out of their element. I mean, you go all the way back to the PSG when PSG pushed them to the very last minutes of their second leg. So anything is possible. It's football. Anything can happen. The key is going to be, how do they get off against that game against Liverpool? Can they? I believe the first leg is Liverpool. But they have to get the results at home, and you know, at least get a draw on the road. They can do it. They can do it. Don't be shocked if Liverpool get shocked by Atalanta. City A fans shouldn't be at least shocked, I should say. So, yeah, those are the big key takeaways there. If you got any other takeaways from the season or from the season from the game, let us know in the comments. I said I was gonna get us out of here in under an hour. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Of course, Sean, luckily, you know, graced us with having almost 50 minutes of time, which is great, more than I expected. So honored to have him on here for that long. We're gonna keep it short tonight. Not much to talk about. Allergies are killing me and myself. Frank is out somewhere in the Smoky Mountains enjoying, maybe smoking a cigar. I don't know, drinking whiskey. I don't know what he's doing. Easter's over, so he's having a ball there in the eastern shore, wherever he is. He's close to me. He's closer to me now than he was before. But yeah, that's all I got for this evening. Keep it short, keep it sweet. Let's get on out of here. Well, follow Frank, FTC underscore 21. You can follow me at R underscore K-H-A-R-M-A-N. More importantly, you can follow us, Syria Sit Down, anywhere across social media. Definitely shout out to Lazio World and Sean McIntosh. Make sure you follow Lazio World on YouTube, all across social media, and if anywhere you listen to podcasts, must listen to podcasts for them, sure. And you should learn, you should dabble in other teams as well. Learn as much as you can about the league, as Sean put it. We're just trying to spread the love of Calcio, and the more you know, the more you can share, the better, I think, for all of us, I think so. But follow Serie A Sit Down. If you haven't done so yet, go to YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. Like the video, please. Leave comments. Again, what are your big takeaways from this weekend, outside of Tudor's impressive victory over Juventus? Let us know in the comments. And, yeah, Frank will be back at episode 302. Short and sweet, Vincent. Thank you, sir. We're keeping this out of here. Another great up. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you. Next time we'll be talking about a Roma winning the derby. Yes, that'll be obviously a key fixture we'll be talking about next week. Cannot wait to watch that game. If we don't see a red card in the game, I will be disappointed. Just letting you know. I expect fireworks. No Mourinho, no Maurizio Sarri, but I still expect fireworks. You still have De Rossi. You still have Mancini. You still have lots of people who can get under people's skin. So I cannot wait for that game. It'll be super entertaining. But until the next episode comes, for Frank, wherever he is in the Smoky Mountains, hope you're enjoying the time away, Frank. For myself, for everyone who joined us tonight, thank you all. And shout out again, once again, to Sean McIntosh from Lazio World. But we will catch you on the next episode of City Sit Down. Until then, we'll catch you guys soon. Ciao. Bullet Club.